in which we can make it work out that there should be this type of time between the delivery of the first fetus and the delivery of the second. Remember, these were both v'lada shel kayoma. So how did such a thing happen? Says the Gemara, if you hold like the man, the Amar who holds, that a yoledes letisha, she gives birth in the ninth month, she can give birth also at the first part of the month. It doesn't matter if it's not full term of 9 months. Okay, so then what happened is we could say she was carrying two vladays, one of which was finished, nigmar tzarasa l'seif shiva, so it was completed at the end of 7 months, and one of them was nigmar tzarasa l'tchilas tisha, so that between the end of the 7 months, the 8th month is out of the question. If it's already an 8th month, it means it's premature from a 9th month gestation, and that at the time the Gemara wasn't shy that it should be miskayim. So therefore, the 8th month we can ignore. The problem is the 8th month itself is already 30 days. What are we going to do with the difference? Ah, so if it was at the end of the 7th month, just zip a shayek on a 7 month gestation.
I would
use it, but it can't be 2 days. No. It's not benimta, the 4 day overdue. That also, these are the parameters within which the Gemara operates. The truth is that Tosfos says elsewhere, based on the Gemara and Yevamos, that your question is a very good question. Because there's a Mishnah in the Gemara that says that if a woman gives birth 12 months after her husband has left town, that the Vlad is not a mamzer. Because we can say that it was nishtaya until then. So according to this, none of these sugyas work out. So Tosfos says over there in Achinami that it's a machlokas asugyas. But here, the parameters that we're using is that this is the shear of Leda, and that it wouldn't be later. So if that's the case, we could say that one of them came out as scheduled at the end of the 7th month, and the other one came out, since I'm a hold like the Madiomer, holds Yoledes in the Mikutayim, so the other one came out a little bit early, a lot early, but at least it was in the 9th month. So I get the 34 days, fine. How are you going to work it out? How do you get 34 days between these two vladays? What's the case? You have at least, let's say you want to make them both in the 7th month. The maximum you can have is 30 days. How are you going to have 34 days between them? And if you put one at the end of the 7th month, you can have at least 60 days between them. If you have the whole 8th month, the whole 9th month. So how's it trying? Ma'ikal Amema. Says the Gemara, okay, that's not such a problem. It could be that we got confused. We said 23 days for the Vlad. I mean, we said 23 days for the Shulia. It wasn't 23 days for the Shulia. Sorry, it was a mistake. 23 days was the one about the Vlad. The 33 days was the Shulia. So in other words, a Shulia can be Nishtaha. We said a Vlad can be Nishtaha. A Shulia can be Nishtaha. For 33 days, okay, that's fine. That has nothing to do with anything. Either it can or it can't. So shleishim v'shalosh l'shilya, and esrim v'shleisha l'vlad, which makes it very simple. They could both, even if you hold like the Man B'Yomar who says that a yoledes letisha does not give birth prematurely, but a yoledes l'shiva certainly does. So they could both have been 7 month pregnancies, and you'll have the difference between them of 33 days, because it's all within the 7th month, and that everybody is made as Yoledes L'Mikutayim. So there's no problem at all. Omrav Ovin Barav Ada, Omrav Menachem Ishkla Sha'orim, Amlapay Sha'orim. I want you to know, a Maisa Shahaya, Maasev Nishtaha Vlad Achad Achad Chavero Shlosha Chadashim. There was a Maisa that it took 3 months for the second baby to be delivered, Vareyam Yoshvin Lefanein of the Desimenech, they're right here, in this base of measures, right in front of your eyes, Umaninu, and I'll tell you who they are. Yehuda Bechizkiah B'nai Rebichia. One of them was born 3 months before the other one. Now this is astounding, because Rebichia was Rav's uncle, was Rav's Rebbe. He was sitting in the base of measures, Mistana, together with Yehuda Bechizkiah B'nai Rebichia. So he certainly knew the Maisa. That Rav's the one who says, Snatch ain't Vlad Nishtar Chavero Klum. How do we understand them according to this Gemara? I mean, to say he didn't know the Maisa, like we was going to say, Rebbe didn't know the Mitzias, that they were shy of such a thing. Again.
His own children?
They're his cousins.
His cousins.
So then, okay, I mean, Lamaisa in general, in these cases, Maisa Shahayas really are not problems. So we're not asking to you if the Rebbe is from Maisa Shahaya. The Rishonim explained in many cases, it's always shy to find a Maisa Shahaya. Something strange can happen. Our question is, the guy be posturing our halacha, whether you have to worry about such thing. By the way, this was actually an article in Time magazine about 15, 20 years ago of exactly this Maisa. And it was so rare that they mamish wrote an entire article about it, about how such a thing happens. Of course, by that, normally, this is really Nageya, that Ein Isha Mitaberet, the Kozeret Mitaberet. That's usually the, because in our terms, we don't have a Shiva and a Tisha, right? These were both two full-term children that were delivered at a spacing of 3 months. So the only explanation is that she became pregnant again in the middle of a pregnancy. Normally, the klal is Ein Isha Mitaberet, the Chozeret Mitaberet, which is why the Gemara over here takes for granted that the point is that one was a Shvi, and one was and the other one was a Chi. So the Gemara is going to ask, I bought my Mar Ein Isha Mitaberet, the Chozeret Mitaberet. I mean, is that what happened over here? I thought that doesn't happen. Rabbi, no, you don't have to say that. Because you see that we were ready to say over here that there could have been a nafkamina if you hold that your lettuce letisha, your lettuce lemikutayim, it wouldn't have bothered you that it could be that one is a sheva and one is a teisha. So over here, that's the pshat. It could be that tipa achas hayis. I mean, it was really one conception. L'izchalkalishtayim, echad nigmar atzeratzu b'tchila sheva, v'yakad b'sof teisha. That's not something the Time magazine entertained. Okay. But they came up with a whole explanation of, you know, how it happened that she actually became pregnant. It's extremely rare in the middle of an existing pregnancy. But it was so rare that it mamish made the international magazines. Okay, so the fact that such a mesa happens, that's like the Ramban dynasty of the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra gets all hot about how can you believe Chazal? They say that Yocheved was 120 years old. If Sarah was 100 years old and 90 years old, I mean, look at what a tumult they make. And here, 120, nobody mentioned a little medrash somewhere. I mean, come on, you can't take that kind of thing seriously. Says the Ramban, crazy things can happen anytime. I understand. You can't have some kind of strange hormonal disorder as a woman becomes pregnant as a grandmother. I mean, but dafka because you're using artificial technology. I mean, things can happen accidentally. Yes. The only thing that Torah made a fuss over was the fact that the Malachim came before and said it's going to happen. Then already, that's a pretty big coincidence, though. They said it's going to happen, it did happen. But that something strange should happen, strange things happen all the time. You can't bring rise to anything from that.
So this
ends
up being a form of twins.
It's twins, yeah. It's twins with different gestation.
There was also a case recently, just like a week or two ago.
Oh, I didn't know.
A young girl had cancer
or
something,
and
was totally could not have kids, and then she conceived naturally without any aid after she was totally...
Yeah.
No capability, no birthing capability.
Fine. Shilya babayis abayis tami. The next thing, what did our Mishnah tell us? That if there's a shilya in the house is tami. Now, lemaisa, the language is a little bit strange. Maybe shilya babayis abayis tami. You tell me shilya is tami. It's amazing. Enough. What I need to know, shilya babayis abayis tami. So we'll see that actually, that makes a real nafkamina la'aloha. Turn around on it. Shilya babayis abayis tome. Lo sha shilya vlad, and she ela shein shilya shein ima vlad. Alright, this we saw already in the Mishnah. It's not that we're claiming the shilya itself is a vlad. All we're saying is there must be a vlad here somewhere. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Shimon, Mitzari. They say no, it's tohar. Omer lo la Rabbi Meir, and they turn to Rabbi Meir and they say to him, I atam modeh. Do you not agree that if we take all of these birth fluids and move them out to the outside room, we'll take it out to the living room now, out of the bedroom, that then it's tar? How do they know that? This is the deed that they make. You said, bye-bye, it's in this room. It's not in this room, it's already torn. So in other words, you're agreeing that somehow or other things will change by the fact that I move it out of the room into the next room. How could that be? It's obvious how it could be. You're agreeing that the slightest amount of moving around is going to basically just make this thing disappear. Because whatever chance there is of seeing tissues that are still showing and that aren't completely buttle in this is gone once you move it. So if you hold that, so why don't you admit that we're right, that as it says in the Mishnah, that it was already nimo kvalachlo, it's gone. If it's going to be gone, then the next movement, I mean, Koshiken, it was gone through the birth itself. So he said to them, Omar le Maval, absolutely, I do agree to that. So then, Velama, why not? What do you mean, why not? Lafishayinu, it's not there anymore. It already became bottle. And he moved it around, and it just liquefied. So they said to him, if that's the case, Kishem Sheino Bebeta Fitzon, Kacheno Bebeta Panimi, why do you say that if it's in the first room, that then, yes. Sorry, but you take a seat here. Amar lahem, Eino Dome Nimok Pa'amachat, the Nimok Shtei Pa'ami. You're right. However, there's a difference between the original Nimok when it comes out, and after it's moved again, that already completely takes it away. Fine. There's discussions within the Mefarshim about what the Machlokas is over here. And what the Machlokas is really is very much dependent in what the issue is of Nimok. In other words, what happens to a blood? Why won't it be Metame? That the Gemara is about to start discussing. Let's say it's Nimok, so therefore what? It's not here, it's here, it just became liquid. Okay, this we'll see in a moment. So Yasi Rav Papa Achori de Rav Bibi Kamei de Rav Amnuna. V'yasi v'kamahar, Rav Papa is sitting there behind Rav Bibi, he's in front of Rav Amnuna, and is saying, my time of the Rabbi Shimon Kasova kol tuma, shenisarev ba mimin acher, b'teil. You know what? Rabbi Shimon's Svara is that it's bottle barov, basically. Because what you have over here, since you don't have a tuma of a vlad, I mean, agreed, you have blood from the leda and so on and so forth, that's all very nice, that's metame, but it's a different type of tuma completely. And therefore, it's not the same thing, and it's bottle. Again, it's not clear if this is a din of bittul barov, is it some other bittul, that we're going to make clear as we go. Amalu Rav Papa, so Rav Papa pops up with the statement of Hani Nami Tamayo de Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Yossi. That if you're saying that that's Rabbi Shimon's Svara in our Mishnah, we could say the same thing in our Brisa. That that's what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, who agreed with Rabbi Shimon, also said, which is rather obvious. I mean, if we said the Pshat in one of them, I mean, why wouldn't that be the Pshat in all of them? So everybody giggled. I mean, no, the kid in the back has to say something. In fact, I'm sure how smart he is. I mean, obviously, if it's Rabbi Shimon Sfora, why in the world would I think that it was different in Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, if they're all three saying the same thing? Rav Papa, a miser later, Rav Papa said, you should know, make a fool of yourself. It's fine. I feel okay, I'm Yosef Leime. You know what? You're sitting there in a shir, you're afraid everybody's going to laugh at you. Even something like this, that you're thinking to yourself also, that's obvious. However, who knows whether maybe the Svar of Rabbi Shimon was Nogea, some sheet of Rabbi Shimon somewhere else, which we knew that was Rabbi Shimon Lataime, and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't follow through. So if I say this, I'm going to find out. So I'll say, okay, then that's the reason Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda also, right? Okay, so then they would say to me, no, wrong. It looks like that, but it actually isn't like that. But if you just sit back and you're afraid to respond, so you'll never find out. So it's kedai to make a fool of yourself. Mishum shenema im navalta. You became an avela, so to speak. You made a fool of yourself in front of other people. Vitnasei. You're going to become great. Vim zamota. But if you shut up, like you put a bit over your mouth, then yad lepeh. You'll put your hand to your mouth when they say, so what's the halacha? You go, I don't know. So the way to be able to speak is to keep your mouth moving when you don't understand. The other Rabbi Shimon Latani. Now this indeed, interestingly enough, is Taka Rabbi Shimon Lashitasai. Because Rabbi Shimon says, the Tanya, Melo Tarvad Rekev Shenafal Letocho Afar Kol Shu Tamei V'Rabbi Shimon Mitaher. Ah, here is, there's a halacha of Rekev Hameis. Normally we have our various Shiurim, Kizayis Min Hameis, we have the Rav Minyono, Rav Minyono. However, what happens after a Meis decays? So you're left with Rekev. Rekev is the decayed material. The Torah gives us halacha l'meishu nisinan that there is a special shiur of that tumah, which is called molei tarvad, which is essentially the shiur of chofnai, two hands put together. Tarvad itself is a shovel, like a little shovel. Yeah? Now, here it says that if some dirt, stone, some dust from the ground, falls into a molei tarvad rekev, what's the difference? It's still Tameh. Why wouldn't it be Tameh? Says Rabbi Shimon, it's Tar. And this is the same sheet of that Rabbi Shimon. My time in Rabbi Shimon. What's that kind of logic that you become Tar just because it's a little bit dim? Or my brother. Ashkachtigal Rabban in the Beirav. I'll tell you, I walked into the Beis HaMedrash over there, and I heard everybody saying the reason that Rabbi Shimon holds that it's not metame, once a little bit of dust falls into it, is because e efshir shelo yirvu shtei predos offer al predacha shorekev. There's got to be some place. Remember, rekev is not a solid. Rekev is a dust. So what's going to happen is that as now this offer falls into it, even though rov of it is rekev, you can't look at it as one whole thing. In the mokum where it falls, it's got to be that there's one place at least where around one little bit of rekev, there is dust. And in that place, it goes according to the rov. In which case, you now no longer have a shear of molei tarvad. Now, lemaisa, normally, of course, Bittul Barov is looked at as a whole, not contact area, correct? I mean, this shouldn't be Nagia. The point that they were making is that what Rabbi Shimon holds is that when it comes to Rekav Hameis, there's no din of whole, because it's an amount. And even if Lamaisa, it would be spread out all over the place, and it's all under one roof, it's all summertime. So it's not a shot that we look at a hole that we need to have this amount of rekev in one mokum. We could be mevatlet now with the same amount plus a little more of alpha. That's not the point. Elamai, the Torah is looking at each nekuda separately and giving a shear. If you have this amount of nekudais, that if you put them all together, you would have a molei tarva. So then it would be metam. If that's the case, so then you could be memayedit, even if you're memayedit a tiny bit, by having one place where indeed it would be bottom. And therefore, you're going to be left with a tiny bit less in that one area, a tiny bit less than the shear of molei tarvad, and therefore would be chaser. And that's his logic. The amina lehu, and
if
I...
If you had more than molei tarvad, it's not a chaser. It's not the exact...
Correct. Exact, it's because it was molei tarvad. That's right. Vamina Lahu, and I said to them, that can't be the pshat. Because the Adarab, I mean, you could say just the opposite. You could say, Efshar shelo yirvu shtei predot rekev al preda achat shelafar, and thou will be nothing like shiuri. Why can't you say the opposite? Why can't you say that it's impossible? There shouldn't be some place where it's the other way around, and since there's a lot more over here, and since a little offer fell in, there's a lot more rekev than there is offer, why don't we look at it the other way around? That the offer should be bought to the rekev. Alamaisa, you'd end up with more than a molei tarvad, such as for sure should be tarvad. Now, this is a very strange question, as the Chazon Ish points out. I mean, but bittul barov doesn't create things, it's just the bottle things. You can't add rekev hameis by turning offer into rekev hameis. It's ridiculous. You could take away the din of rekev hameis by being mevatel the rekev in the offer, but you can't add offer to become rekev by surrounding it with a little bit of rekha. So what is he asking? Okay, this is a lot of discussion about that particular yisod, which he brings from Tosfos. But in any event, the Chazon Ish Tain is that the meaning of the sugya over here is not that Rav is seriously saying that we should add the amount of offer that now becomes rekav. You'll end up with more than you had before if you look at this. He's pointing out the absurdity of looking at this as separate pieces. So what does it mean to look at it as separate pieces? You look at separate pieces, that if this surrounds the offer, so now the offer has to be considered as mixed in here and bottle. I mean, that's not the point. This is no different than every bittul berov. That's the way to look at it. You look at the entirety of a mole tarvet. You mixed it more than a mole tarvet and offer. But you're saying that the surface area is where bittul berov takes place. Why would the surface area be the place where bittul berov takes place?
But
if you add water, it's a liquid and it mixes. Well, but there you don't need to be mavatzel. There you just need to take away them. It's not really negeah. If you're talking about making a bracha, I mean that's because it's only considered to be disgusting. It's pure meiraglayim. That's not because of bittul berov, right? You don't need to be mavatzel the amount of meiraglayim. Okay, elo amar Rabba. I knew Taimer the Rebbe Shimon. I'll tell you what the real logic is over here. It has nothing to do with what you're saying. The real logic is that Sofo Kitchilato. That's the real logic. Rekev Ames has a very special halacha. Just like Tchilato of Rekev Ames, Naaselo Dover Acher Gangilon, just like when you have originally a mace who is buried together with other things, then there's no din of rekev on such a mace. Because a mixture of decayed products of the mace together with a decayed talis or something like that takes away the din of rekev. That's halakha l'mashem yisinai. Fine, okay, yeah, halavai. So therefore, just like anything else that would be mixed over there would be gangilon. Gangilon is probably a lashon of taruvas, as Rashi brings it, or others on it stands kenegdai. The Aruch brings a number of different lashonos. This is how Rashi learns it. Gangilon means an extension to be mavatal, like a ganglion of a neuron or something. So af sofo nasladavar acher gangilon. The same thing is true. Just like the Torah said, you can't have anything mixed with it lechatchila. You can't have anything mixed with it at the end after it already became rekev. Ma'i, what are we referring to when we say something else becomes gangilon? Tanya, ezel meis sheyesh lo rekev. When is a mace capable of being metame with rekev? Dafka, if nikbar arom. First of all, there had to have been no clothing, no tachrifim. Secondly, he had to have been enclosed in a marble coffin, which would not have allowed any mixture of anything else to get in there. Baron shel shayish. O gabei ritzpa shel avanim, inside of a kuch. But zeh me sheyesh lo rekev. Ve'ezeh me sheim lo rekev. Where is it not shayish to have rekev? Ikbar b'ksuto. O baron shel eitz, where the eitz itself will decay. O gabei ritzpa shel libenim. Any of these cases, zeu meit she'in lo rekev, v'lo omru rekev ela lemeis bilvad. The din of rekev is only said to someone who died. Isn't that rather obvious? No. Lemute horuk, as opposed to somebody who was murdered. Somebody who was murdered, since usually he loses blood when he's shot, then he's not a meis sholem. Now, loch is any chisarn in the meis, does not create rekev. So rekev has a whole set of very unique dinim of tumah. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon was saying that the same halachas that are strange in the creation of rekev are also strange in terms of the dinim of rekev in the end. And therefore, he says a special halacha that if there's offer there, and this is unique halacha, legabe, this din. We find the same thing, by the way, the same machlokas, in Mole Tarvat Gufa. Mole Tarvat Rekev Shinafalatoko Offer Kosher Utame, Rabbi Shimon Matayer, and we find the same halacha in another Mishnah lives. Mole tarvat rekev shenit pazer babayit. You have now in under one roof, you have the entire mole tarva that now was spread around the entire room. It's still a bayit tameh. And there too, Rabbi Shimon is metayer. And it's the same reason that he's metayer, because now since it was spread all around, the assumption is that a little bit of it is now mixed with dust that was in the house. And I need both of these halachas. Why? Because if it would have told me the first halacha where you literally have a mole tarva in one place, and the Rabbanan was saying afal pikein that offer fell onto it, it's still mitami, I would have said, okay, that's mishum demachnish. That's because it's all in one place. Since it's all in one place, we don't look at a surface area to define the nature of bittul. Abu nitpazer, einochinami. If we're only dealing with it because now the Torah gave it a din of even though it's all over, it's as if. We have to look at each piece separately. Maybe it's true that you don't say Maya v'chazer v'maya. You cannot make this part add up to the other part because you have separate little pieces over here. Maybe that itself is enough of a reason that we won't say, in other words, if I only had this piece, I would have said maybe that's the reason. The Yashmina Baha, let's say I would only have had the case in this pasuk. So then I would have thought maybe that's not Rabbi Shimon's reason. Maybe Rabbi Shimon's reason is not because of bittul; it's because ein ma'al v'chazer ma'al, that the Torah does not have a din of rekev that allows you to put together little pieces. It's either a mole tarvet or it's not mole tarvet. Maybe he would have been made it to the rabbanan in a case where a mole tarvet and a little bit of offer fell into. Maybe it would have been tamei. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, we need now to have both cases. And we have another case, which is Nageadis, V'tanya Yidach, Mole Tarvat V'od Ofar Besakforis. Let's say that someone takes Mole Tarvat plus. So in other words, over here, he's adding the Rekav HaMeis to some of the dirt from the Besakforis. Since he can assume that as a Mole Tarvat, the fact that there's dirt there doesn't matter, and it's still Tomei. Rabbi Shimon, of course, again, is betayer because according to him, there's offer here. My tamaya derabanan, the fishi yevshel amalek tarvat veod offer besak varshem amalek tarvat rekev. Okay, this is how I understand Rabbi Shimon. Forget about bittul, like you're talking about. Now that we have these cases, it's clear it's not an issue of bittul. It's a whole new halacha. It's not an issue of ein mayo v'chayzer mayo. It's a new din in which the halachas of Tumas Rekev at the end, meaning after the Rekev exists, Aliba the Rabbi Shimon is no different than the creation of the Rekev in the first place. Fine. Okay, now that you're saying that that's the point, how do you explain the Shilya? I mean, this is a whole new halacha. I mean, that's, you're certainly not going to start talking about a Shilya and say that now the Shulya is not Tomei. I mean, what does that have to do with this? So how should the Amar time in the Rabbi Shimon which was safe for Kitrilas? I mean, I understand everybody else was saying that there's a din and it's Nimaik, Vailaklo, whatever, but you're saying that the din is Sofa Kitrilas, which is a din specifically in Rekav HaMeis. So how do you explain the din of Shulya and leave it to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yudah? So Gabi Shulya, my time. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Shulya is a whole different issue. Shilya is because of bittul berov. Since the shilya now is mixed in with the dam haleida and the mucus and everything else that had come out at the time of leida, therefore it's bittul berov. And once I can't see it, it becomes a bittul. And this is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitosa. Va'az the Rabbi Yochanan the time, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, our Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Both clearly hold the same thing. Amru davar achad. Rabbi Shimon hadi amaran. This is our Rabbi Shimon in our sugya. And Rabbi Eliezer. Why do I say Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds like him? The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer. What appears to be a very strange halacha. That a behema gasa sheshafa chararat dam harezu tikaver upturam harabichora. So far so good. All he seems to be saying is that if you find in a behema gasa that there is now an abortion of this big piece of dam. We should bury it, apparently, because he holds that it's really a fetus, and therefore it has a din of a bechor. We're assuming here this is its first birth. And, because it's a suffix, maybe it's a male. And the second vlad that will be born is not a peterechem. So again, everything is fine. The problem is, v'tani Reb Chiya Allah, that Reb Chiya explained in the Brisa, that Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov nonetheless is saying that this charura is ena metama, lo b'maga, v'lo b'masa. There's no tumas nevelis here at all. Now that does not seem to make sense. I mean, either it is a vlad or it's not a vlad. So me'akar she'ena metama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. Why in the world is it being buried? Am I tikaver? The reason we're burying it is only we want people to know that the next vlad is not a bechor. What? So then you're saying it is a vlad. So, I'm a vlad now, you're going to make up your mind. So then it is a vlad. So if it is a vlad, then why isn't it matami? So by Tani Rebbe Chiya, ain't a matami, lo b'magam, lo b'magam. I don't understand. It's like you're ignoring my question. You're telling me why we bury it. I mean, but obviously that makes it worse. You're saying the only reason we're burying it is to be a mefarsim. But it's really not matami. So how can it really be a vlad if it's really not matami? This doesn't make any sense at all. And here explains Rebbe Yochanan, Mishum bitul barov nagupa. That ain't a kinami, there is a nafel here. The nafel has gotten crushed. All I see is the remains. The remains are mixed up with a lot of blood. And therefore became bottled, says Rabbi Yochanan, that this sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the equivalent of the sheet of Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah about Anisha of Shulya. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan Lashitoso holds that you can be actually mevatel, even if something else which is Tameh, you can be mevatel something as long as it's not Nikr, it was Nimoach, and it won't be Matana. Om Reb Ami, Om Reb Yochanan, let's clarify something. Rabbi Shimon is saying that the Shulya is not Matami the bias. That has nothing to do with the mother. We're not saying that there wasn't a Leda over here. Made Rabbi Shimon, Jima to me a Leda. Afal Pikein. You seem to be saying here also a contradiction. Because if this thing is a human, then if these are human remains. So why aren't they Matami? Elia Tining, it is a human. So then why is she to me a Leda? But that's the point. Says, Omar, who's Sabah, the Rebbe Ami? Let me explain to you. Azabal of Hatayim and Rebbe Yochanan. The point over here is that a Vlad, in terms of Leda, it doesn't matter to us that it's liquefied. That is the Vlad. See, Bishlam of Lagabe, other issues, and determining its human construction, that's a separate thing. Lagabe, the Dinim of Tumas Mace, and so on. But by Leda, we have a Chiddush in the Torah. The Yomar Akra Isha Ki Tazria V'Yalda Zachar. This, why does the Torah go directly from Ki Tazria to Leida? I mean, what's the point? To tell me that Afilu Lo Yalda Ela Ke'en Shizria Tamei Leida. The Chiddush over here is that even if the Vlad was Nimoach, till it's indistinguishable from the original products that created conception, it's still Tamei Leida. Which means if it's completely Nimoach, doesn't matter. So therefore, Legabe, the din of Tumas Leda, she's definitely Tumea Leda. Legabe, the halacha of Bittel, to be Matami the bias, it's not going to be Matami, I'll leave Rabbi Shimon. Reish Lakish Omar, Reish Lakish says, there's a whole different issue over here. A shvir shetorfuhu b'meimav. You take now a shvir, and you take a spoon, you mix it up now in the actual liquids of the shvir. This is considered to be a mace that is no longer kayim. If you would have taken a mace, you would have burnt the mace. And now you grind it all up and you throw it off around. You don't have anything now that is left. And therefore There's no tuma. What was shaykh to bittul barov? The dinim of tuma requires a certain shear of the mace. Where's the mace? So over here you took it, you mevalbal it. It's no different than a mace shalem that was mevalbal. Says Rabbi Yochanan, that's a very interesting point, but what's the mocker? Omale Rabbi Yochanan Shlokesh, Meshin is Babel at Surasa. You're coming up and telling me that if it's no longer recognizable, it's not a mace. How do you know? Minolan the Torah. Do you know this? Hilema miyad, the Omer Rabbi Shabtai, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Magdalah, the Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Magdalah, Omer Rabbi Shabtai. That meishin nisrav v'shildoi kayemes tabin. That if you had a mace that had been burned, as long as the skeleton is still around, so you could see that this is a mace, then it's tamein. And maaseh haya v'timulo ptachim gedolim. There was also an actual mace when a mace nebuch was burned in a house, and they had now large doors. And tiaru lo ptachim ktanim, ptachim ktanim legabe, this halacha means less than four tfachim. There's a din called sof tumalatzeis. In other words, where a mace is in a bias and is going to definitely be removed from the bias, then the place where it will be removed, if you have smaller areas, if you have one larger area, so all the other areas are nitzolim, they never become tameh, and only the large pesach becomes, or large psachim become tameh. So in other words, we treated a mace that was burned as a mace that was sholem. In the same way we understand a mace that's sholem, we're not going to cut him up, take him out of the smaller psachim. So therefore, here too, we treated him even though he was burned, and it was treated like a mace sholem. And I'm assuming, says Rabbi Yochanan Teresh Lakish, that you made a diyak in this whole sugya, and this is your diyak. Because the yakta mina, you said to yourself, oh, notice that the stress over here is taima de shildo kayemes. The only reason that it says this, there's still a big chiddush to them, so it's because you say that it's said over here that there was a full skeleton, so memela was matame. Halavachi, it would be Torah. That's your assumption. Why would it be Torah? I know the whole mace is here. So you're saying, well, must be because this Babel at Tzuras. If that's the case, we should say the same thing by an Uber. An Uber that's this Babel at Tzuras is no different from a mace where basically he's liquefied over here. He's completely turned into ash. And I disagree with you. If this is your mocker, I don't see that that's true at all. Adarabha. I would say just the opposite. I would say that you should look in the other direction. You should say like this. Why did they say that the psachim kitanim were tar? That's what you have to ask yourself. I mean, after all, there's ashes over here. Why can't I remove these ashes from the smaller psachim? Oh, because there was all skeleton. That's the point. Since there was all skeleton over here, lemaisa, that's what tells me you're not going to start taking out the ashes through that small psachim. And then you'll remove the skeleton from here, and therefore Shvimatami, those psachim. Obviously, we understand that the Zaka is going to come and we'll remove all of the remains together in their body bag. No. So doesn't that tell you exactly the opposite? Halavachi, psachim, kitanim, nami tmeim. If anything, it's the opposite. If it hadn't been that there was a shelet, so I would have said, okay, so then we'll collect the ashes, and we'll remove the ashes. So maybe I have a crew outside of a window, and we'll lower the ashes through a window, and then you wouldn't be metayer the psachim kitayim. Why? It's this babel and tzurasai, it's just the ashes. Do you see if anything exactly the opposite? Because maybe in one package of ashes there was a full arm, let's say, and that would be enough. If I have an Eber Shalem of a mace, I would have been, how do I have an Eber Shalem? I'll have his ashes. So if anything, you see just the opposite. That ashes, what's completely this Babel at Tzurasa, remains the same halacha that it would have been if it wasn't ashes. So how do you make such a deal from here? It's the exact opposite. Halav hachi, psachim kitanim namitmein, to kol chad v'chad chazi, lafuk echad eiver. If anything, we should say, each little bag would have contained, perhaps one eiver would have been enough, of a chashash, that we should be metami all of the psachim. I think you mean, but I'm just the opposite. Therefore, I'm finding the only reason that we would say such a halacha legabe the uber is only because it was nisbatel in the mei leida, the dam leida, and so on. But if not for that, who ever heard of such a halacha? This babel of tzurasa, and therefore it's no longer metame b'neis. Understand what the marker is? Gentlemen, I'm sorry. I think I have to stop. But I've left open a number of very serious questions on the daf itself. So as Hashem, let's go over it Matzai Shabbos. Now that we've seen it, you'll have a chance to chazer, go over it again, what the halakhas are, and then we'll be able to continue with our next step.
What time?
According to this, Rabbi Yochanan is timing, what's the nafkamina? It still has a complete din of a mace. Why would it be bottle? Well, we're still holding in the middle of the sugya. Let's wait till we get there. What time shall we meet Matzai Shabbos? Do we have a problem this week at all? Everybody's good here?
Well, you put it off a little, and I'll be coming back on Monday.
Monday? If you'll provide us a Malava Malka, that will last us till then. It might work.
8 o'clock?
8 o'clock, okay? 8 o'clock with you? Yeah. You're a Tishan. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Main thing is to feel good.
Well, I think it's been going down, so now I finally got to my vocal cords. I didn't have any trouble talking before. It's very, very bad.